Halacha says in Tafayin Bet, in the laws of drinking the Arba Kosot, that even if somebody who drinks wine, the wine physically hurts him. Gets a headache, let's say, or some other hezek, some other uncomfortability that the wine causes him, Maran says he still must push himself in order to drink the Arba Kosot. Of course, if you can find a substitute like grape juice that doesn't bother him so much, of course that's an option. But even so, if there's no other option for him and he's the yayin bothers him, he must push himself to drink Arba Kosot. Unless, of course, he's going to get sick. That we're not talking about. If somebody has high blood pressure, the wine causes him to get sick, or he's diabetic and there's no other wine for him to drink, and he cannot find a dry wine, of course, he would be exempt. But the Halakha doesn't say that a person who's going to be bedridden as a result must drink the wine. But just that he's uncomfortable. It has a negative effect against him, the wine. Doesn't matter. Halakha says, "Afa pi shayin maziko, sadik lidchok et atzmo." He has to push himself to drink. This brought us today in the Halakha to an interesting question in general. That if a person eats a food that has a negative effect on his body, would he have to make a beracha on such a food? Today there are many processed foods that clearly are not healthy to the person. We know that already. Certain ingredients, MSG or sugar and things like that, or very salty foods, where clearly the doctors tell you it's not good for your health. It's mazik. It's not good for your health. Would he make a beracha on such a food? Very interestingly, the Gemara talks about a case of a food that is mazik, and that's olive oil. The Gemara says drinking olive oil straight up, or any combination, it's a mazik. It's detrimental to the body. According to Rashi in the Gemara Berachot, because of that, he says, do not make a beracha. You cannot make a beracha on something that's mazik, and that's the way Maran in Shulchan Aruch also rules by olive oil, that since drinking olive oil straight up is mazik, one cannot make a beracha. So, we're not doctors. We have to assume that the Gemara knows what it's talking about. There's some chemical makeup in the olive oil that causes some physical damage to the body. And the Gemara is clearly saying, according to the Rashi, according to the Shulchan Aruch ruled in Siman Neshbet, that if the item is mazik, so there is no beracha. Not bore priyait, not a shakol. So that would seemingly tell us that on foods that are damaging to the body, the Chaura one should not make a beracha. However, Hakam Avadya brings the Stechemet down and other Mefarshim that want to make a Chiluk. And they want to argue and say, olive oil not only is mazik, which it is, but also there is no pleasure when one eats it. The taste of it, there's no Hana'ah. And therefore, it has two things going against it. There's no taste, or there's no hana'ah from the taste of it, and it's also detrimental. However, if something was detrimental but has a good taste, there Chacham Avadya argues, you must make a beracha. Olive oil is the exception. It's 0 for 2. It's damaging and there's no taste to it. Well, there's no benefit from drinking olive oil. He brings a proof to this. Gemara clearly says that you must make a beracha on kemihin and pitriyot. That's on truffles and on mushrooms. You make a she'akol. Even though Harambam says in his halachot that those are very damaging foods. They're not good for your body. He calls them ra. They're bad. He says you keep away from them. But still the Gemara says you make a beracha on them. Why? Because they taste good. Even though they might have a damaging effect on the body. Bottom line, you make a beracha on the taste. Similarly, the Gemara says on carobs, you make a beracha, but it's priya etz on haruvim. Even though Maimonides clearly wrote, haruvim are not good for the body. So therefore you see that it's not enough for it to be damaging to the body. As long as it has a ta'am, and the person benefits from the ta'am, so we'd have to make a beracha. Hakam Avadya rules in Hazon Avadya, in the She'elot U'Tshuvot, in the laws of Pesach, that because of this, even though a person gets physically damaged from wine, maybe gets a headache or becomes a little dizzy, but since when he drinks it, he has a hana'ah, it is still sweet wine or whatever type of wine it is. It's not bitter like some type of bitter pill that he's taking. So since he's having hana'ah, he has to make more priya gefen. And that is the halakha l'ma'aseh. It should be pointed out as a side note that the Ben Ish Chai in Parashat Pinchas said that if a person drinks olive oil alone, he should make more priya etz, which is very shocking because it seems to run against the Gemara. Hakam Avajah and Hakam Ben Tzion questioned the Ben Ish Chai. Unless you say that the olive oil changed from the times of the Gemara and now has different effect. But it's hard to say that because Maran himself said that if one drinks olive oil straight, you don't make a beracha. Because it's mazik. So you have to tell me that it changed within the last 500 years. Who knows? Who knows that if it changes within the 500 years, that can be so certain to say, that Ben Ish Chai is questionable. But the ma'aseh, if a person would drink regular olive oil, he would not make a beracha. Unless he mixed it with something. If he mixed it with something, that's another story. But drinking it alone, it has two negatives to it. It doesn't taste good, and also is mazik. Mashe'enken, wine, it's only mazik, but it has a good taste. You can drink it. Of course, if somebody would not be able to drink wine, where he spits it out, he can't even swallow it, of course he wouldn't make a beracha on it either. We're talking about a person where he could drink it. It goes down. There's a sweetness to his palate. It's just that he knows that in a couple of minutes he's going to get sick. Be no difference if a person, like we said today, has a lactose intolerance. But he loves ice cream. He knows 10 minutes after he eats ice cream, he's going to have the biggest stomachache. It's fact. Of course he makes a beracha on the ice cream. Because bottom line, when he ate it, he had a hana'ah. It tasted good. It's mazik. It's no difference than what the Gemara says if a person eats barley flour. Barley flour, the Gemara says, you make shakol. Even though the Gemara says, kasheli kukiyami. What's kukiyami? It was a certain type of worms, maybe a parasite that it causes. So clearly there was a damage to the body by eating this flour. But you make a beracha on it. Why? Because bottom line, he enjoys it when he's eating it. It's sweet, it has a taste. Whereas the halakha says, for example, if a person made a drink, chometz. Chometz is vinegar. Maran writes in Shulchan Aruch, there's no beracha in vinegar. Cannot make a beracha. Clearly we're talking about over there vinegar that was very, very strong. Where it's so acidic that the person cannot even tolerate it. You're right, then there'd be no beracha. But today's vinegar, like an apple cider vinegar or some type of vinegar that's not as potent or pungent or strong, of course, he would make a shakol niyamid baro if he would eat it. That depends on the type of the vinegar. On very bitter nuts, for example. The Gemara talks about shkedim amarim. Very, very bitter nuts. You cannot even eat them, they're so bitter. Maran says there's no beracha on these items. Actually, all these items have something in common, but they have no benefit at the time of the eating. Mashenken, wine, there is a benefit. It tastes good. It's just that he knows he's going to have a consequence. Doesn't matter. Even though the consequence comes subsequently after that, since at the time that he ate it, he has a hana'ah, that's the basic rule, and that's where Hakam Avajah rules as well. The underlying chedush over here also is to show you how important the mitzvah of drinking wine is. Even though it's mazik, the halakha says there's an inyan to push himself to drink the arba kosot. We also learned that preferably, our custom is the arba kosot should be of red wine, unless the white wine is more meshubach. But even so, today the custom is to use red wine for the arba kosot. If a person could get wine that's not mevushal, of course, so it's better. But if he has concerns about goyim or protecting it and things like that, and he has a good bottle of yem mevushal wine, it's okay also. But preferably, Maran says you could use mevushal. Nothing to talk. However, it's preferably, we said, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, if you can get a non-mevushal wine. Now, it doesn't have to be sweet wine. A person can get a dry wine. There's no mitzvah to get a high alcoholic wine either. A person gets a wine that's that he could drink. To water it down is not so advisable, because our wines are already diluted. But the custom is to pour 3 drops of water in it anyway for the kiddush. But the dilution is done already in the factories. So again, red wine, preferably non-mevushal. Already yesterday we discussed the shi'ud. Today we're saying that even if it's difficult should push himself. Ladies also are obligated, we learned, to drink the Arba Kosot, and one should put the Arba Kosot in front of the children as well. The boys and the girls, 5-6 years old, put a kosot in front of them. You don't have to be so careful how much they drink. Even grape juice, you put it in front of them just to give them a chizuk, in order to give them the chinuch for this very, very important mitzvah.